This is Daryl Bigger, speaking to you from Walla Walla University, another in our series on this quarter's Bible study guides, The Bible and Human Emotions. If you don't have that guide, I encourage you to contact your local Seventh-day Adventist church and ask them for a study guide for the lessons for January, February, and March, which they'd be glad to provide for you. My guests to discuss this week's lesson are Larry Viverka, School of Theology, and a hospital chaplain, and Julian Malgosa, psychologist and educational background, who is currently the dean of the schools of education and psychology here at Walla Walla. I'm intrigued by the text of this week, Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When I was a student here on this campus, long ago, there was a tapestry hanging in the lobby of the women's dormitory. So every time I went to pick up Barbara or anyone else earlier than Barbara for a date, I saw that hanging in the lobby. Great reminder of a high values-oriented life. It's not so easy to put into practice, however, particularly in a contemporary world where media bombards us with all sorts of things. We have struggles, for example, even on Christian campuses, with students and faculty and staff being overcome with the onslaught of inappropriate and time-consuming and degrading media. How do we apply this sort of thing now? And let's start out with even a more specific question. When you think about good thinking, you think about thinking positive thoughts, good things, being optimistic about life. Is optimism really a choice, or is it a personality characteristic with which we are born? Is there a genetic component to the level of optimism we have about life?
I think there is evidence that there is a genetic component. There is no question that there are people who are innately negative about things and others that are positive.
See, the implication of that then, Julian, is, I'm going to interrupt you here and set you up to talk some more. The implication is, hey, I'm just a sourpuss, I'm a critic, I'm an unhappy person, that's just the way it is.
Sure, that's what I was going to say next, okay. That you know, regardless of what you have to make a life out of it, and there is a lot of possibility of changing your patterns of thought. When you are reading for several hours a book of adventures, you come out of the book and you just almost are living that adventure. You just almost feel like you have the uniform on and so on. Uh-huh. And, you know, that is because whatever is going through your thinking process is going to be part of your mood. And I think it is so much under the possibility of being controlled that we have a great deal of ability to manage this. I went a few years ago with through a family experience, a very, very isolated event that reminded me how possible it is to change your mood if you make a point of it. We were traveling a few years back, and we ended up in a church that we didn't know people, and there was a potluck, and my wife and I and my daughter was already older enough, and we were with our son, who must have been about 12 or 13. And those kids, you know, you get to an area where there are unknown people there, and what do they say? Look around and come to us and say, this is boring. And my wife didn't like that because we didn't have any other place for him to go. He had to accept the reality that boring or not, that was a place to stay for the next hour. And she said to him, boring is a state of mind. Work it out so that you get accustomed to this, you get happy with it. And you know, he turned around and somehow, I don't know what he did, but we saw him talking to some, you know, older folk there and, you know, talking to people and everything. He made the best out of that situation because his mother said, boredom is a state of mind. Just change it. Huh. So there is a lot of things that we can do. You know, this is something that I have to face. Do I suffer in the process, or do I enjoy as much as I can? And that is a choice. And I think that is what good thinking is about. And of course, in the context of the Bible, that has to do a lot with character. What do you choose to think? It has to do a lot with Christian life. How do you live your life? Is that something automatic, or is something because you have been already cultivating the kinds of thoughts that would invite to that? And that's what it should be.
Something I'd add, I think there are some individuals who I think their gift is being analytical, critical. They have that kind of ability, of mental ability. What needs to be cultivated, it seems to me, is to be able to be analytical, critical, to see the faults, to see the problems, to see that which doesn't work, and point that out, but to do it with a heart that's filled with grace and graciousness. That was one of the qualities, I think, that would characterize how Jesus, you know, confronted, for the most part. I mean, I think he got pretty dramatic in his last week in his confrontation, but it's to do it graciously, and rather than to imply stupidity and ignorance and incompetence if you can't see and be clear about what I'm pointing out, it's to say, to help people say, look, this is what I see. How do you view this, or how do you see this, and could there be something useful here in this? Presenting what would otherwise be a pointing out a failure, or a criticism, or a problem, in a constructive way, perhaps.
Paul's letter to the Philippians is where this text comes from, about thinking about all those optimistic things, and he follows that up in just a few verses by saying that he's learned to get along no matter what the circumstances are around him. He's learned to be content when he's in need. He's learned to be content when he has plenty, lots of resources. The thing that intrigues me is that he concludes that paragraph by saying, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. It's the inclusion of God in all of this somehow that adds a note of grace, maybe, Larry, to the kind of more negative point of view, the critical, analytical point of view.
And I see also in that text something that is very hopeful. And it says, I have learned. I have learned to. And I think that adds the component of, it's not an inherited thing that one has to be content. I have learned to be content no matter what the circumstances. And in my personal life, that is one of the greatest goals, because I know that it is an acquired trait. It is not an inherited one. You can learn to be content. It's not that I am by nature. And of course, the secret is what says in the verse 13, I can do all things in Christ that strengthens me. And that's the one that is going to facilitate the way so that I make the right choice of thinking, of mood, of, you know, guiding my life through my right thinking and emotions. But that learn, to me, is very critical in that text.
Very interesting idea.
I like the text, too, that says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And by that mind, I see a way of viewing things, a way of thinking about things, a way of seeing the challenges, the difficulties, the problems. It's to be able to somehow let Christ inform my vision, my understanding of what's going on around me, so that I can begin to assess or evaluate based on how he might do that.
I remember hearing an interview with Solzhenitsyn, who was in the gulag in Russia for years, who was asked how he could cope with being a prisoner for so long. And he said, freedom is a state of mind. So we can create that atmosphere around us. You want to share something?
No, I just to say what you said. Freedom is a state of mind. There is a movie that is called the Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
And I like one scene there where the star is punished for doing some, you know, mischief in the prison, and he's put in a box in a little room there, mm-hmm. and he is he has to be there, you know, crunched up for days, really. I mean, and when they open, and he could hardly walk. He was, you know, affected. But whenever he goes to his friends, says, "How could you survive such a thing?" And then he said, "I brought my music." "Oh, come on, come on!" They said, "Yeah, I brought my music in." "How come?" "I had it here. I was playing all the time. I was playing it to myself."
In his head.
You know, he could hear that in yeah. his head, and he could survive because he had decided that that was going to be a pleasant experience in the midst of the pain.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, that is just an example. It's an extreme one, and maybe mm-hmm. even unrealistic, but an extreme one of what the choice of thoughts that you have may bring you.
What practical things have you heard or read about or used, ways to move yourself toward being a good-thinking person, an optimistic person?
I don't know if optimistic, but the right kind of thinking. I have done some counseling, and when I'm tired, if I am meeting with someone, I may tend to drift and my mind, you know, gets distracted. That's something unpardonable in a counseling profession. Mm-hmm. What I do is I use imagery, and as the person talks, I envision the things that they are talking about.
Mm.
I make a colorful scene of what they are referring to me. If they are talking to me of a place, of a person, of a conversation that they have had, I try to put as much color and vividness in the whole story so that I can occupy my mind with what I mm-hmm. should occupy my mind, which mm-hmm. is listening there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think imagery works for me very well, you know.
Good.
Imagery can work also well, you know, to give yourself a little bit of courage
sure.
and, you know, think about some goal that you have and imagine it and recreate that scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's a practical
mm-hmm.
side.
You bet.
Yeah.
Things come to your mind, Larry? Therapeutic techniques or?
Well, I remember a comment by Ellen White, who dealt with a great deal of depression in her life experience. And for her, it was a matter of singing. She would mm. think of the words of a song and then begin to sing those words, and as she did so, it would help to lift her mood.
Yeah. To create what you wish to have be, to live in that state of mind where you wish your life to be expressed, is much of what that is all about. Thank you, gentlemen, Larry Viverka and Julian Melgosa. This is Daryl Bigger calling from Walla Walla, speaking from Walla Walla University. about this lesson on the whole notion of good thinking for the good word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.